The Holy Gospel, which will also serve as the sermon text this morning, from Mark chapters 2 and 3. Once on a Sabbath day, Jesus was passing through the grain fields, and his disciples began to pick heads of grain as they walked along. The Pharisees said to him, "Look, why are they doing what is not lawful on the Sabbath day?" He replied to them, "Have you never read what David did when he was in need and hungry, he and his companions? He entered the house of God in the time of Abiathar, the high priest, and ate the bread of the presence, which is not lawful for anyone to eat except for the priests. He also gave some to his companions." Then Jesus said to them, "The Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. So the Son of Man is Lord even of the Sabbath." Jesus entered the synagogue again, and a man was there with a withered hand. They were watching Jesus closely to see if he would heal the man on the Sabbath day so that they could accuse him. He said to the man with the withered hand, "Step forward." Then he said to them, "Is it lawful on the Sabbath day to do good or to do evil, to save life or to kill?" But they were silent. Then he looked around at them with anger, deeply grieved at the hardness of their hearts. He said to the man, "Stretch out your hand." The man stretched it out, and his hand was restored. The Pharisees left and immediately began to conspire against Jesus with the Herodians, plotting how they might kill him. The Gospel of the Lord. Praise be to you, O Christ.
Grace, mercy, and peace are yours from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Listen again to the words of Mark chapters 2 and 3. I'll just read verse 4 at this time of chapter 3. Then he said to them, "Is it lawful on the Sabbath day to do good or to do evil, to save life or to kill?" The word of the Lord. Let us pray. Lord, sanctify us in the truth. Your word is truth. Amen. My dear friends in Christ, remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. What a great commandment, isn't it, that God has given to us? And yet, so misused. As much at our time as it was in Jesus' time. Oh, to be sure, everything that Jesus did was watched. Everything that Jesus said was carefully listened to. Normally, you might think that that was carrying out the Sabbath day, right? That we not despise preaching and God's word, but regard it as holy and gladly hear and learn it. And yet the hearts of those people who were listening and watching were evil. So many of these careful investigators, these intent listeners, were watching and listening for completely evil purposes. They wanted to trap Jesus. They wanted to convict Jesus. They wanted to kill Jesus. And Jesus knew that. And we know that too. Because God in his word revealed clearly the hearts and the attitudes of those people. But more importantly than revealing the hearts and attitudes of those people, and also revealing the heart and attitude that we often have, he reveals to us the heart and attitude of our Savior, Jesus Christ. And when we look at what our Savior shows us, he presents a series of incredible contrasts today. What a contrast our Savior presents between rest and work, between good and evil, between saving life and killing it. And the contrast can't be clearer. Let's praise God today that he has put us on the side of rest, on the side of good, and on the side of saving. Many Israelites were very zealous for God and his word. They wanted to follow God's laws to a T. One of the most significant laws that they loved to be very careful to follow was this third commandment: remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. But they missed the point of that law and all of God's law. The law was not meant for us to find rest with God by what we did. God's law was meant to burden us so that rest could be found in another. Jesus said the Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. We as human beings were not created so that we could obey an eternal command that God willed to give to us. No, this command, this will of God, was given to serve us for our benefit, for the crown of God's creation, His special creatures. The Sabbath was made to bless and to benefit us. What was that Sabbath all about? Was it about ceasing from work? Was it about not taking steps, not lifting loads, not cooking or cleaning? No, it was about devoting ourselves to the God of creation, the God of salvation. It was to learn about your God. 6 days are for business of life. 6 days are for carrying on with duties and obligations, affairs of this world. But one day a week, God wanted Israel to pause. Why? So they wouldn't get tired from the busyness of their work? No. He wanted them to pause so that they could ponder and think about the relationship that they have with God. He wanted them to pause and find their rest, their peace, their happiness, their deliverance, their eternal salvation in the one who had made them and the one who had blessed them with every good gift, even the one who would come to save them from their sins. He wanted them to take time to devote themselves not to the business of life, but to devote themselves to the one who had created and saved life for all eternity. The Pharisees, they didn't get that. Oh, they devoted themselves to Jesus. They watched him closely, except the only reason they did was so that they could use his words and his actions against him. And they used this tool of the third commandment, the Sabbath day, to try to convict him of a sin. Well, that's why Jesus came into this world. He didn't abolish the Sabbath. He didn't ignore God's rest from work, the rest from obligation to God, the rest from fulfilling perfectly all the demands that God had required for heaven. He came to fulfill those. So the Son of Man is the Lord even of the Sabbath. Jesus is the one who gives that rest. He is the one who delivers us from the debt of works. Jesus is the one who gives perfection. He's the one who takes the load off of our shoulders. He's the one who lifts that burden of holiness and righteousness off of us and places it on himself. The Lord of the Sabbath, the one who came to be Sabbath rest. What a contrast Jesus gives us between work and the rest that he came to provide. We can easily misunderstand the Sabbath too. We view church as a work that we do, a duty, an obligation to fulfill. And when we do that, when we come here to church on Sunday or Monday nights, we think that we have peace with God because we've fulfilled our obligation, our work. But when we go to church, it's not so that we can offer to God what we have to give. It's to receive the blessings that He has given to us. His gospel proclaimed to us, His sacrament given for us, His absolution of all of our sins. Yes, this is where Jesus gives to us, where Jesus works for us, so that we might have rest. Boy, the Pharisees hated Jesus for that. They hated Jesus for upsetting their misguided understanding of God's laws, His demands. God gave these things so that not so that they would strive to fulfill them, to be proud in their own righteousness with God. God gave these laws so that we would turn to Him for life, for righteousness, for fulfillment of these works, so that we recognize we can't do it. We need another to give us rest. That's the goodness of God. In His law and His gospel, He seeks our good. He seeks our blessing. He seeks to rescue us. You see that also in the event on that next time in chapter 3 of that man on the Sabbath with that shriveled hand. How Jesus' heart was broken for this man with a broken hand. Just another visible manifestation of the broken sinfulness of man, that sinful world. What would be good for this man with a broken hand? What would be good to do? To deliver him from what infected him, the sin that troubled him, and also the results of sin in his life, manifested in that weakness and then infirmity that was bearing witness of the sin in his life. So what did Jesus do? He did good for the man. He sought to heal him from that infirmity. That was good, not evil. That was God, what God willed for Jesus. And so Jesus healed him, seeking out good, not evil. And look at the anger, the evil intent of those Pharisees by contrast. They were watching closely. Why? Jesus entered the synagogue again, and a man was there with a withered hand. They were watching Jesus closely to see if he would heal the man on the Sabbath day so that they could accuse him. It was pure evil in their hearts. It was complete evil that manifested itself in their careful watch of Jesus to trap him and convict him. They wanted to find him guilty of something, anything. Even if it was guilt against their own made-up requirements, their own standard of good. But their standard wasn't good. It was pure evil. And Jesus knew it. And oh, how his heart burned with righteous anger there at those evil people. Then he looked around with them at anger, deeply grieved at the hardness of their hearts. Their hearts were hardened to the gospel of Jesus. Their hearts were cold, dead, and unbelieving. Oh, they were zealous. They were hardworking. They wanted so badly to do and to work and to do, but they completely hid the one who was doing and working and fulfilling all of that obligation to give them rest from all their work. They thought they were doing good. To kill Jesus, they thought that was good. But they were evil. What a contrast, good and evil. Friends, can we find ourselves in that situation too, doing what we think is pleasing to God, only to realize that it's not guided by the truth of God's word and God's will? So that we realize that what we're doing, what we're actually accomplishing, is not good but evil. Jesus comes to set our hearts right, to help us see the evil inside of us, the error of our ways, and to do for us exactly what we need, the most good that could ever come for us, to deliver us from that sin. The problem with the zeal of these Pharisees is the ultimate outcome of their zeal. It could be seen very clearly in their desire and intent for Jesus. It was a matter of life and death to get this right. They were plotting how to kill Jesus. They actually met with another group, the Herodians, who also had complete evil in their hearts and every intention of killing Jesus. What a sad affair. Truly a matter of life and death. But the truth is, this was more than just life and death for Jesus. This was life, a matter of life and death for every person of every time. To know the rest that Jesus came to bring, to see the eternal good that he was working for the world, to know his commission and his goal to save life. That's what his life was all about. He was there to rescue the multitude of people from eternal death and damnation in hell. He was there to relieve all of those who were weighed down by the burdens of their unsolvable problem of sin. He was there to show them goodness in God, the goodwill of God for them, to love them and save them forever for heaven. The teaching of these zealous Pharisees was a teaching that leads only to death, a teaching that kills. The Apostle Paul said it so well in another place. The letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. Here by letter, Paul means that law of God, what God commands. It kills, it destroys us. But by the Spirit, he means that gospel. That is God's gift of free forgiveness through faith in Christ. What a contrast between the teaching of the Pharisees, righteousness by the letter, and the teaching of Christ, righteousness by the Spirit. But that teaching, that false teaching of the Pharisees, that wasn't just a problem then. That's still alive and well today. Even in the greatest Christian denomination in the world today, it's a denomination that's driven by works righteousness. Yeah, the teaching of the Pharisees that you have to earn your righteousness by your works and your obedience to the law's demands, that teaching kills. It can only lead to death because no one is holy enough to fulfill God's demands. No one can keep the law that God requires. But the problem is that little Pharisaic attitude lives in my heart too. But what does that works righteousness burden, that opinion of the law that I must fulfill, do to me? It continues to burden me. It continues to weigh me down by that plan of salvation. Man will work and work and work some more, and he will never find rest. He will never be done. He will always live and then die under the obligation of perfect obedience to the law of God. And God demands perfection according to that law. And anything short of that is failure. Any short of that perfection means death to the one who lives by that righteousness. What a contrast our Savior presents to us. A matter of life and death, not just for Jesus, but for all of us. Oh, but how perfect. How perfect is Jesus' plan for us? In His goodness, by His work, by His perfect life and innocent death, we have life. Jesus came to give us life, and look how He accomplished that. He used their evil plan. He used their wicked heart and evil intent to kill in order to carry out His good plan to save. They wanted to kill Him, to destroy life. God's plan was for them to kill Him in order to save the spiritual and eternal lives of everyone who believes. Yes, through faith in Jesus we live. Through faith in that plan of God, carried out through the evil plans of those wicked men who wanted to kill Jesus, through faith in God's plan of the Savior's death for us, we have life. We are saved. Is it lawful on the Sabbath day to save life or to kill? Jesus asked. Jesus saved our lives. Jesus gave us Sabbath rest that we need. And every Sabbath day we hear this plan of God's salvation for us, His work to save our lives. Friends, do you see the contrast? Do you see the contrast that our Savior presents for us? Seeing that contrast, understanding that stark difference is how we really grasp what this third commandment of God is all about. He seeks our rest, not our work. He seeks that rest through His work for us. He desires our good, not evil, for us, as He comes to save our life and not to kill it. As He invites us to His house on Sabbaths, be it Sunday morning or Monday night for worship, He wants us to lay down our work. He wants us to put aside our effort. He wants us to be devoted to hear and to celebrate Him, to rejoice in the work that He carried out to save our life weekly. A time to set aside our works weekly. a time to find rest from our labors weekly, a time to find rest in God's labors for us to save us eternally. So what are you doing on Sundays this summer or Monday nights during the week? What will you plan to do on a weekly basis that is so important? What work must you do that cannot be avoided, that cannot even wait a moment? Lay it aside. Make a plan to set that work aside, to pause and to rest, so that you can devote yourselves to the God who worked for you, so that you can celebrate and praise the God who died that you could live, to thank and glorify the God who overcame evil to bring you good. Make a plan to regard God's word and the preaching of it as holy, and to come and gladly hear and learn it. Remember that Sabbath day by keeping it holy. Amen. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds through faith in Christ Jesus, our Savior. Amen.